Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
It's the Rod Peterson Show.
I'm telling the kids these sticks were legendary.
Yeah, look at the size of this thing and how thick it is.
How about that?
I've only been waiting 30 years to do this interview, so after today I can die happy. Donald S. Cherry, how are you doing today?
Hi, Rod. Hi, Darren. How you doing? Well, I'm doing pretty good, thanks. How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing great.
Now, it's Rod Peterson.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy holidays. Welcome to the RP Show on a Flame Tech Football Friday. We're coming to you live out of the bunker. I'm not being rude by not looking at you. I'm just sharing. I was talking to the viewers.
Oh.
But I'm just sharing the show. You know.
I know.
How about that?
How about that?
I just sit there and listen to the Don Cherry clip from, obviously, that's coming up in our best of next week, I would think.
Yeah.
And I think of all the Don Cherry impersonators over the years, and maybe next week on the best of show, I will discuss the Don Cherry impersonator that came and spoke at the Pat's Sportsman's Dinner a few years ago. If you noticed, I don't think he's in business anymore.
He didn't get called back, eh?
No. Anyways, welcome to a Flame Tech Football Friday, everybody. As we get settled in here, we've got some very big guests on the program today. John Frenzy, you heard him laughing on the couch over there. He's a lot easier to imitate than Don Cherry. Actually, they're both pretty easy to imitate.
Oh, yeah.
Loud! Anyways, John Frenzy here, our NFL insider, Tory Gurley. And as two pro football play-by-play guys, as we, Lynch and I, for years, we're driving up here because I pick him up today. I haven't put it on my story yet, the video where I pick Frenzy up, but I will. He goes, "Who's on today?" And I said, "Brad Sham. Do you know Brad Sham?" "Of course, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys."
They know.
How do you like that?
Yeah.
How about that?
How about that?
The voice of the Dallas Cowboys coming up here in hour two of the program today. And I'm wearing my TB12 hoodie, bunny hug, as you gifted me. Thank you, by the way.
Yeah, it looks good.
From Tom Brady, personal stock. I was going to wear my Dallas Cowboys pullover that Jamie Anstey sent us from Nova Scotia, but I didn't want to look like that big of an ass kisser to Brad Sham.
Yes, you got to wear it a day he's not on.
No, but I was holding these things up in my bedroom where my clothes are, and I'm thinking, this Cowboys pullover is exactly what I would have bought if I'd walked into the Ultimate Fan Zone.
Yeah.
So anyways, big show today. I will shout outs to everybody as we roll, but let's get to the quick six show topics, please, Director Jordan. I assume he's here. I haven't seen him yet.
He's in the back.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Listen, it's a Flame Tech Football Friday, but we got to discuss the biggest topic in the country right now, and that is Canadian NHL teams moving to the United States. I'm going to fly through all these and then come back on one. Point two, Thursday night football. The Chargers beat the Raiders 30-27 in overtime last night. Not the game of the year. That was Monday, but pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah.
Point three, Mike Riley's got a new deal with the British Columbia Lions. Farhan Lalji had all the financial terms. We'll get into that later because it is a Flame Tech Football Friday. Point four, I think it's a legitimate question now. Will the CFL play in 2021? It needs to be asked. I'm sorry. And I was on TSN 1290 Winnipeg this morning. Shout out to the Peg. And Darren Bombing and I and Jim Toth kicked it around. And Darren Bombing said this. For CFL presidents and owners right now, governors, you're playing Monty Hall. Let's make a deal. You're not old enough, but you remember it, right, Lynch? You don't want to open any door. Every door is bad news. Not one of them's good. Is that fair?
Yeah.
That's what it looks like right now.
It does look like that.
So we'll delve into that. And a bit of a teaser, I think the CFL erred in not playing in 2020. I'm just going to put that out there. Alan Ford said on the show this week that they did the right thing. Dave Hodge said they did the right thing. Willard Reeves, all on this show, all said they did the right thing. I don't agree. And I'm not sure there's a lot of people in the CFL that would agree that they did the right thing by not playing. What was the vote? 6-3 by the governors, I think, to play? So I'm not alone, clearly, in my thinking on that. Point five, we'll spend the rest of it on NFL, and Tory Gurley's coming up shortly. Week 15, doubleheader on Saturday. Ooh. Buffalo at Denver, Carolina at Green Bay, and then I move to point six, Sunday's games. The Dallas Cowboys home to the San Francisco 49ers. I'm not sure how the voice of the Dallas Cowboys has time to come on this show. That's one of the questions I got for him. But that's a friends and family game. Both teams are done.
Right.
Tampa Bay's at Atlanta. That's the game of the year. Drew Brees named, that's the New Orleans game. Tampa Bay at Atlanta, and then Detroit at Tennessee. Your Titans.
That's right.
Talk about the importance of that game, please.
It's big. They're tied with the Indy Colts for top spot in the division. I mean, Tennessee's got the edge right now. They're sitting in that spot. But Detroit's a good football team still, despite their record. They've lost a lot of tight games. There's talent there. But they just need to take care of business, right? It's a tough game. It really is. And it's important because the AFC is better than it's ever been. So you have to win these games because it's tough down the stretch. The Titans still have Green Bay left, and that's not one you circle on the calendar as a win.
But I screwed myself up here. So it is Kansas City, New Orleans, and that is the game of the week, Patrick Mahomes versus Drew Brees. I just thought Tom's game was the game of the week, so I tricked myself.
And that's the interesting one because Drew Brees, they're bringing him back off the injured ribs. Not sure if he's going to play, but I like the Saints in this game to beat KC, I do.
So some comments. Gentlemen, could you please throw up the comment from Kelly Bruce watching today? He's a P1. He doesn't write in often, so I want to get to his comments. He says, good morning, Roddy and Moose. Good chilly football Friday to you and the gang. Just listened to the podcast, your session with my old teacher, Al Ford. Could listen to him all day. Got to get Mr. Ford and Frenzy in the bunker together when you're able. Must watch TV. Would you do that, Lynch?
Yep, sure.
Sure would. John Kirby had a comment about the contract of Mike Riley. He says, John Kirby in Edmonton, the general public might not be vaccinated till late summer, early September 2021. John Kirby's saying, why? Here it is. Why does Mike Riley's deal matter? There might not be a 2021 season. It's a Flame Tech Football Friday. I want to save that for later when Lynch comes in because I want to go back to the topic that, frankly, everybody's talking about, and that is the 7 NHL teams potentially going to the United States. I'm sorry that I'm such a skeptic. I don't believe much of what I hear anymore, and that's just maybe I'm jaded. I also know how it works from the inside. And Pierre LeBrun of TSN on SportsCenter, I was shocked that he admitted that great timing of this report to come out by Frank Saravelli to put pressure on the Canadian government for the NHL teams to play in their own arenas. Showdown's coming. That's my commentary on Cat Country 98 today in Assiniboia. NHL versus the Canadian government. Whose balls are bigger?
Really? That's what it's going to come down to, right? And how much does money talk, right? How much money is it going to take? Are they going to have to fork over the type of, you know, plan and money to build the bubbles to travel? You know, like portable bubbles and make, you know, what are they going to have to do? Because there's a way to play and keep it in Canada, but the government will say, you're going to play, but you have to recreate that bubble you did in Edmonton and guarantee that type of safety when you're going to go in and out of these communities. So get on your charter flights, all coordinated. It's going to be expensive, more than usual, or you got to play in the States. And I'm with you. You don't mess with the government, and the government will say, you can do it if you have the plan, but that's the only way, not your way. Be our way.
I'm sorry to bust in, but from Mike Booth watching in Fort McMurray says, did you guys see the Riders have released Zach Evans? Here's the tweet from Canada's team. We have released D lineman Zach Evans. We thank Zach for his dedication to Saskatchewan, both on and off the field. I would like the opportunity to talk with Zach one-on-one, but maybe he can handle this in stride because I would say take it in stride. Zach Evans has a lot of football left in him. He'll be fine and he'll play somewhere. It might just not be here. Al Hordell writes in and says, I don't care what Mike Riley makes. He's a great guy, great player, great for the CFL. So you see, having things to talk about here in the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace, not a problem.
Not a problem.
You're home for the NFL. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons. So just back to that NHL thing for a second. I tweeted, because I saw the notification come down my phone, and it was like, oh, my God, the Canadian teams have to move. This is terrible. And then I thought, by the time I got home driving, wait a minute. Nobody can get into the rinks anyways.
Right.
Who cares? Is it really that big of a deal? So I tweeted that. a lot of the football people agreed with it. But within the next couple hours over the course of last evening, my phone just melted to the point that I didn't watch much of Thursday Night Football, Dupes. I was on the phone all night with Canadian NHL workers, whether they be people that work in arenas where the NHL teams play, for the NHL teams, or companies whose contracts with NHL teams in Canada are in jeopardy now if the Canadian teams move. You understand, we're talking catering companies, signage, therapy, whatever, you know. It is big, really big. One of them went, because it was multiple people that I chatted with across this country. And I, you know what my first thought was, or what my first thing was? Oh, you guys are there! Because nobody said anything for 10 months. Right. It was like this was the last straw. And they're not making their concerns public, but at least they're now coming to me and saying, Rod, it's this, 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 and this. Okay, I think I get it. I get you now. But now it affects you. But for those businesses that have closed, I guess it's been affecting them for 10 months, right? I'm with you. Has there been a bigger champion of sport for sports in this land, in this province, than myself and Mike Stackhouse and you an extension of that? Like, we're pro sports.
Oh, yeah.
But the government is very clearly not. Would you agree?
Government has to be pro people.
Bingo.
You know? And that's it. They're not looking at sports or mechanics or, you know, other accountants and lawyers and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They just see people and trying to keep people healthy. And we want to keep the economy rolling, and they do too. We want to keep people active and playing sports. But, you know,
who's we?
You and I.
Right.
We want people to play sports. They're not as interested.
No.
Right? But that's our job. Right? They're going to put out the rules and the things they're going to do to keep people safe. We have to find a way now to understand the rules and how we can keep people safe. And then how can we creatively apply these to our business and then present it back to the government to say, look, here's how we can do this safely. The NHL did that once and it worked, but we have to do it as an industry. You and I can't just say, well, I think this is how we're going to stay safe and be, you know, vigilantes on our own, but as a whole group. The whole organization, the whole league, and the NHL now has to find a way to get creative about doing this in a new way in Canada.
I understand how big the NHL is to scale compared to the CFL and the junior hockey leagues and the NLL and all those leagues that we talk all the time. They're doing the same thing, just bigger. More money, more teams. Really, there's less teams than the CFL has. I would say this to the NHL people. What makes your plight any more important than the CFL's plight? And if you want to talk about jobs and economic spinoff and tax revenue in the country, government doesn't care about that.
Right.
We've found that out long ago. And we've also found out if you want to play chicken with the government, you're not going to win. And there's no bigger NHL fan or hockey fan than me. But I think the NHL has a rude awakening coming. I don't. So you're for those that missed it off the start, with Pierre LeBrun saying the timing of this is to put pressure on the Canadian government. They're already feeling pressure, man.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that the NHL people are misguided if they think this report's going to sway the provincial governments.
Yeah. No, I agree. You can't put. We've learned that the government doesn't cave to pressure, right? The pressure right. of, you know, what the CFL went through it, you know, trying to put this on the government. They didn't give us the money, so we're not playing because they didn't give us the money. They don't really care.
They right? don't care.
And at the end of the day, you don't play because you didn't come up with a good enough plan to play. Or you didn't want to play, right? That too. I mean, the government and the pandemic, that does, I mean, That's a reason you're not playing for sure. If that didn't exist, you'd be on the field. But we saw the NHL. They will let hockey play in a bubble. They let it happen. Will they let it happen in this new way? I don't know. And the same thing with the CFL moving forward.
Nice segue. Can we put up the comment from Trent in Norway, one of our 19 daily viewers in Norway? Norway calling. It seems like the Canadian and provincial governments are being the NHL's worst enemy. Actually, it's pro sports, period, in our country. It also seems like the fear of losing life to corona is pushing other illnesses to the side. Oh, boy. Stay safe, everyone. How about that? The government and the media has driven the fear to the point that, by the way, in the realm of public opinion, I think the public's going to be choosing the government over the NHL. That's the other thing that's happened here over the last 10 months. But to the CFL, because we only have a couple minutes left here, and we're going to bringing in John Frenzy and Tory Gurley at the same time, but maybe this would be a good face-off. I don't know. I think the CFL should have found a way to play in 2020. I think they erred in not playing. And if the vote was indeed 6-3 to play, that represents 66% of the league, which is enough to carry it. And they still didn't. So that tells me there's six teams in the CFL that would agree with me that they should have played. They should have found a way, because look at where they are now. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Find a way to play, right? And it's happening in the NFL, and look at the benefit they're getting and how great it is.
Well, you can't compare to this NFL, though.
No, in the ability to play. But, I mean, look at what the NHL got out of their bubble. You know, we all are positive in the way that that played out. You know, you followed the NBA more than you ever did. You know, and following basketball now. And the CEBL. And you followed their tournament, we did on this show. Even followed the Canadian Premier League a little bit. So it's... We just want them to play because we love the league so much.
Well, if they didn't play because they were afraid to lose too much money, how's that working out for you now?
Yeah.
Right? We will break. Lynch is pumping his fist on the couch. He literally is. So he's got stuff to say. And we'll follow up on all these. And I got some pointed NFL questions for Tory Gurley. That's coming in next. This has been the warm-up for the Four Seasons Sports Palace. Come in and warm up at the Four Seasons, your home for the NFL. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. It is a Flame Tech Football Friday, and we got a lot of hot issues on the table. We're going to get to Tory right away. We're just very excited. Coming up in hour two, the voice of the Dallas Cowboys, Brad Sham, my team, will be with us in hour two. Lynch was asking how long he's been the voice of the Cowboys. Since 1976. Now, I want to get Tory's opinion on this, so hang with us, Tory. Listen closely, but with John Frenzy here, and his appearance is brought to you every Friday by Wheaton Kia. You can find them in North Regina at the corner of Albert and Avonhurst. I contend the CFL should have done whatever they could do to play in 2020, Lynch, because of look at where they are now. How do you feel about that?
Right on. They should not, if it had to be a six-game schedule, that had to be a six-game schedule. They had to do something. They had to play and make themselves noticed. But they went out there now and they're saying, sorry, we tried, we couldn't do it. But they're the only major football league, college or pro, that didn't play last year. A couple of them were late going, the college in particular, but they went and did it. And had a revised schedule of six games somewhere, eight games another place. But they had their presence out there, and that's exactly what the CFL should have done. They didn't want them. It looks like they tried hard and said, well, guess we can't do it. Try hard doesn't work with me. I don't know about you. That's not an excuse.
No.
It's not an excuse.
Well, did you try your best? I don't know that they tried their best. And if that vote was indeed 6-3 in favor of playing, but they still didn't, and that was reported by 3downnation.com, that tells me that six teams crunched the numbers and realized we can financially do it. Yeah. But the three that didn't want to play held more sway than the six that did.
I see who they were, and it just wasn't convenient enough for those final three. It wasn't convenient enough. Not the extra effort, I think. I'd love to see who the other three are. I'm pretty well certain who they are. I'd like to meet this personnel and sit across from them like I am now to see what they say. And they would say, well, we just couldn't do it. I'm sorry we couldn't do it. Not fired up.
Viewer Nashville Bobowski on the breaking news. He's in Saskatoon. He says the Riders released Zach Evans today. We mentioned it last hour. We're not going to delve into that as much as some of the other topics that are on the table. This is huge news for Zach. But if the CFL doesn't play in 2021, it's not going to matter for Zach Evans. He has already had a Hall of Fame career. He'll be just fine.
What are we talking about? The receiver, Zach Evans?
Zach Evans, defensive tackle from Regina, former Thunder.
You can't let him go. He's a great one.
They did.
Heck of a football player.
He makes a lot of money. He's one of the highest paid Canadian defensive tackles the Saskatchewan Roughriders have ever had. This is all money. I believe it has nothing to do with the Roughriders' feelings for Zach Evans. But so furthermore, to Pat Janix in Saskatoon, he says, with Riley and Adams restructuring their contracts, is Cody Fajardo going to follow suit and do the same as Bo? What are they going to do? There's no reason to think that Cody Fajardo needs to restructure his contract. He only signed a two-year contract as it was. That topic came up this morning on TSN 1290 Winnipeg. That same thing about Cody Fajardo. Look, he wants to be in Saskatchewan for 10 years or more. The Riders want him for 10 years or more. When you got two sides that want to come together, it shouldn't be that hard. Now, Lynch, hang on. Put your headphones on and turn them on. I'm not sure they're ready to go yet, but we got our NFL insider, Torrey Gurley, has joined us. And I know, Torrey, you just connected. Before we get to our Week 15 talk, you're in Toronto. You got so many friends in the CFL. I am contending today that the CFL should have found a way to play in 2020 because they're in a calamitous situation now. How do you feel about that? And we're having an audio issue in Toronto with Torrey. Whoops. Jeff, we're good now? Okay, Torrey, they say we got you good. So anyways, look, we've had some people come on this show and say the CFL did the right thing by not playing. From a safety standpoint, I disagree. From a business standpoint, I think they should have. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, it's tough when you go a year without playing football. My heart goes out to the players. I'm always going to be on their side because I know what it's like to be them. And as you mentioned a few months ago, you had personnel, you know, front office and coaches were getting paid throughout this process. And while guys were back in the States or in Canada trying to make a decision for their families, like, should I continue to train? Or should I, you know, move on with the next thing in life? And the biggest thing that's going to scare me is injuries coming moving forward. With all these guys not being out of football, if you notice in the National Football League, the first 3-4 weeks, there were a lot of injuries. And now you're going to have a lot of that because your body isn't calloused. You know, you've had that time off to where you're not prudent to go out there and go play at a high level. And you know, we're going to be right back in the same situation that we're in now when it comes to from the financial point, because you still have to pay people that's hurt. And, you know, that's just a side of sports that people don't want to acknowledge, but it is what it is. You know, we're not machines. This isn't a video game. These are human beings.
You bring up a great point about the players wanting to know about 2021, and this is what bothers me. If the CFL had come out and said, we're playing no matter what, if they've guaranteed it and said, we're not going to have fans, but we're going to play, guys, so get ready, they still haven't done that. And that's a concern for me. So for a guy like Zach Evans, who was released today, defensive tackle, you played against him, for monetary reasons, I would say to him, Zach, we're not even sure the league's going to play in 2021. So go get a job, do what you got to do, take care of your family. And when the CFL comes back, maybe there's something for you. But anyways, here, Lynch has a point, but just hang on, John. My burning NFL question for you, Torrey, is the Chargers had their wiener pulled out of the campfire last night. Their kicker, Badgley, missed two late field goals. And would have won on the game in regulation. He leads the NFL to missed field goals. It's the year of the missed kick. Why are they not looking to the CFL for kickers by name Brett Lowther, Liam Hirelahu? You know, there's been some snafus there, but what's the deal? Why don't they look to Canada for kickers?
I never understood it. You know, I thought Metlock was definitely, when he played at Hamilton, that I was trying to figure out, why is this guy up here? Like, literally, I think he could really win a lot of games in the National Football League, and he's so diverse. So, you know, obviously Liam, you know, I played with him and a few other kickers that's in the league. I think they should be given the opportunity. I mean, they can't do any worse than what we see on Sundays, these guys missing extra points as well as missing field goals to win games. So, you know, give those guys a shot. You know, at least give them a workout or whatever. I have no clue why the NFL hasn't opened up those doors for kickers.
Okay, Lynch, what do you got?
Well, Zach Evans, Torrey, I just can't accept that. He's been a good Canadian tackle, defensive tackle, to great at times. He's a Canadian. He's from Regina. this is a stupid move. Here we go again. We're going to start talking about money being number one in going into the season as far as the teams are concerned. They really want to cut the money down. I understand it, but you don't cut good football players like that, do you?
That's the unfortunate part about the business. You know, you try to find the best players for cheap. And yeah.
Is cheap the biggest factor? Cheap the number one factor?
You know, it is number one. New England has definitely made a killing from that, and as well as, and that's something like a blueprint that most teams try to pattern themselves after, is not maxing out the salary cap. So you have both ends of the spectrum. You might have teams that overpay for players and you get production, or you might have guys that go out and try to find the cheap, you know, the best player for cheap and build a team around that. So there is no right or wrong answer when it comes to it, but Zach will land on his feet, man. This guy has great film, and I know someone would be happy to have him as a defensive lineman on their team.
But it hurts the Riders. It hurts that football team.
John, we got to move on. It's all about money. Look, the Riders don't want to cut the guy. They know how good he is. He makes, I think, $170,000. It's about money. Enough. To the NFL, Torrey, I got to ask you this. Are you surprised that they have not missed a game? That was a poll question of ours, I think, just yesterday. Are you surprised the NFL has not missed a game due to COVID?
No. These guys are going to power through anything. Literally, if they have to grab people off the street, the biggest concern is as long as the star quarterbacks don't get hurt, you're going to have a great product. You know, as long as you don't have a Hall of Fame type player or MVP type player to come down with COVID in the biggest games, the NFL is going to be fine, because skilled players, they come a dime a dozen. You can go find a wide receiver, you can find a defensive back, you can find a running back anywhere in the world, but something that you can't find are quarterbacks and offensive linemen, because as soon as you have players that are replacements, you start to see the difference when somebody that's a $100 million guy compared to just a $1 million base salary player. Those guys are extremely great at what they do, so as long as you have that, the NFL has a great product.
Well, John in Edmonton says, how many postponed games and move games have the NFL had this season? Who cares? They haven't missed any. That's the point. And you've probably heard that 2-week buffer window between the conference championships and the Super Bowl, they're saving in the event that they have to move into that final weekend before the Super Bowl. And I don't think anybody would have a problem with that if they need it, right? Moving it back. But so far, they haven't had to. How many times, Torrey, have you been asked, are the Cleveland Browns for real? What are they now, 10-3 or 9-4? Are they for real?
Yeah. They're a good football team. I'm not going to say they're for real. They've been they've benefited from having a decent schedule. I'm not going to call it easy, but it's been decent, been average. And they've handled business. But moving forward, you're really going to see the difference between teams that are used to being in the playoffs, because Cleveland is right now, they're considered to be in. And you're just going to see the maturity. But it's a great job for everyone of Cleveland, you know, because over the past 20 plus years, they've been one of the biggest laughing stocks of the NFL. So to turn it around, it's amazing. But even with me being Browns alum, I would never pound my chest and scream Super Bowl with their first year being successful. It's just something where we're all going to appreciate. And I just hate that, you know, the Bills and the Browns this year, when they have their best years in 20 plus years, the fans can't be a part of it. And that's the only thing that, you know, continues to play over in my mind, is just imagine like the ruckus crowd at those places, because those fans truly are passionate about their football.
9-4 are the Browns. 9-4. I forgot about the Monday night game of the year, which they shouldn't have lost, but it wasn't Baker Mayfield's fault. Okay, Lynch, what do you got for Torrey?
Do you think that Chris Jones has done much for the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, he's done his part. I will give more credit to Kevin Stefanski. This guy has came in and literally took the game out of Baker Mayfield's hands and put it in the stomachs of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And whenever you have a team that's run first and can play defense, you're always going to be in a ball game. And they limit Baker Mayfield throws to where he's not throwing. When he was with Freddie Kitchens last year, he was throwing the ball 25 plus times a game, and they weren't successful. But anytime Baker is averaging like 20 throws a game, the team has been very successful, as you can see with their record being 9-4. So less throws by Baker, more runs by the running backs, and that's a success. You know, that's a recipe for success right there.
We got some questions from the viewers. I love when they come in. Todd Pinckney says Baker is a better quarterback without OBJ's complaining. Corey Usher says, what's Torrey's take on Drew Lock in Denver? Let's start with this. They're saying Baker's better with Odell Beckham Jr. hurt. Is that a thing?
Yeah. Yes. And I've seen it before in life where you have a receiver that's just so great, you feel like you have to throw him the ball. And it's just like no matter who's on him, because you try to satisfy them, and that's not playing football, because you have to keep the integrity of the game by making your reads. And sometimes you might have a Torrey Gurley open or a Rod Peterson open in a slot instead of just forcing it to OBJ. There's going to come a time where you want to get him the ball, but it can't be every play where he's your number one option. So with him, you know, being on injured reserve has forced Baker to just sit back and read things in his purest form, and this guy's making some easy throws, and they're capitalizing on play action. So, yes, I hate to say it that it took someone's injury for him to play well, but sometimes it's like that when you feel that pressure of making that superstar player happy.
Drew Lock, in 60 seconds or less, what's your scouting report on the Denver quarterback?
He's done. John Elway is – I'm quite sure he's looking for another player, and I'm hoping that those guys lose so you can get in on some of these good quarterbacks that's out here. Like, literally, you have a lot of guys in this year's draft coming up. So if Denver, you know, decides to tank, I understand why, because you can really surround that player with some talent that they already have on offense.
It is week 15. Let's go to Torrey's tips for Wheat and Kia and FanDuel, my man. What do you got this week?
All right, with Torrey's tips, we're going to go with Matt Ryan. I like J.K. Dobbins. This guy came on strong last week in a big Monday night game. DeAndre Swift, Tyreek Hill, D.K. Metcalf. You know, I think it's time for him to step back up. He started out extremely hot, and it's somewhat fizzled off, but I think he picks back up this weekend. Got to go with Sammy Watkins, Hayden Hurst, D.J. Chark, and this week's defense, I'm going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
What are the reasons for Matt Ryan at quarterback? Cheap?
Man, Matt Ryan is one of those guys where he's like empty calories, where he just throws a bunch of yards and gets touchdowns, and this that time of the year where no one is really playing defense. They're just trying to make it home safely because they know if you're not a playoff team, I just want to get on vacation and not be on the injured reserve throughout my offseason.
Hey, you are Bills alum. They're going nuts in upstate New York, man. I'm so happy for them. Are they primed for a crash, or could they go? And I don't mean now. I mean playoff heartbreak, or could they go all the way?
Yeah, I don't believe in Josh Allen. The guys, he's been playing extremely well, but I know exactly what I saw last year, and this guy was over his skis. So it's bound to happen, and most likely it's going to happen in the playoffs where this guy's going to be a deer in headlights. And I just hope that Buffalo defense can turn back up. You know, last year they were a defensive-led team, but this year it's been more of offense. And I just don't believe in Josh Allen. As well as he's playing, I think in a playoff he's going to lay a major egg.
That's what I'm wondering, if the dream turns into a nightmare come playoff time. But they're still climbing the mountain. They're going to be good. Torrey Gurley's appearances presented by our friends at Wheat and Kia. Torrey, enjoy the games. Don't forget the Bills play Saturday. I know you'll be watching, and we'll catch up with you in a week.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
Torrey Gurley, our NFL insider. We could have gone a lot longer, but we do have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the major news today in the Canadian Football League. It's official. The Saskatchewan Roughriders have released defensive tackle Zach Evans, two-time Grey Cup champion. He is one of the highest-paid defensive players on the Roughriders, or he was until this morning. It's got everybody talking in the CFL about what's coming next, and we'll discuss that and more when we return. You're watching the RP Show on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
And John Frenzy. And we got action. We got heat here today on the RP Show. I'm just updating my website right now, so bear with me. But it is a Flame Tech Football Friday. Flame Tech is the industry leader in combustion services. But the Saskatchewan Roughriders releasing defensive tackle Zach Evans today. And this is not just a, you know, news here in the sweatpants capital. Here's the news release. The Saskatchewan Roughriders have made the following roster moves. Released Canadian D lineman Zach Evans. Evans leaves the Riders after a total of 4 years with his hometown club stretched over an eight-season CFL career. The Regina product got his start with the Regina Thunder before signing with the Riders in 2012 as a territorial junior. In his first 2 years with the Green and White, he played 16 games, and in 2013 won his first Grey Cup on the field, where he grew up playing minor football. GM Jeremy O'Day saying, "We want to thank Zach for all his efforts while he played for the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Not only did he represent the Green and White with pride on the field, but he also went above and beyond to give back to the province he grew up in. We wish him well. We wish him all the best moving forward." That doesn't sound like he's coming back. And from our viewers, well, Carlos Legena writing in, and he says, salary cap casualty? Let's go to all the comments here. John in Edmonton says, Frenzy needs to give it up. Riders will be fine without Zach. Jeff in Calgary, the Stamps fan, says, I wonder if the Riders offered him a restructured deal and he said no. That sounds like the case to me. I retweeted the Riders tweet and said, this is all about money, which it is. And I had a CFL veteran write me and said, and production. He said, you have to earn your money. You can go and look at Zach's stats and decide for yourself whether you think he earned a salary, which I believe was $170,000 per season. But in this climate of the CFL, I don't know, man. Did people not listen? When a guy like Garrett, what's Nelson saying? There was definitely a drop-off at his performance. He was only able to start 11 games last season. But his prime, statistically, was truly his two seasons in Ottawa. So, put it all together. Is that CFL player DM'd me and said he didn't earn the money. The production wasn't there. So how do you feel about that, Lynch?
Oh, possibly. He was down last year. He was injured. But I'm sure he can get healthy again. He's a Canadian from Regina. He did have some great games with Ottawa. He's had some great games with the Riders. And he's a Canadian from beautiful old Regina. It won't go over big with the fans. And the executive think, to hell with the fans. They'll forget about it pretty soon. Well, they won't.
Well, they do think that. But you also are a little at fault here by falling in love with the local players. There is a little to that, too.
Yeah, that's right. I am. But I'm pretty realistic. And this guy's a real good player.
Well, you're not getting over it easily, obviously.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's hard to accept getting rid of a guy like that. You think the general manager and the player could come to some reasonable agreement because this guy's from Regina and he can put an effort in the field. And we need defensive tackles, by the way. That means we don't have the two starters from last year, Johnson and this guy.
Well, when I agree with John in Edmonton, it's a long day. He says, John, please let the release of Zach go. It's a done deal, Frenzy. So it's funny with the viewers writing in and saying, did the Riders offer him a chance to restructure? Don't know. It doesn't sound that way. With them, when the release says, we wish you all the best in your future endeavors, it's not see you back here next week.
Well, you've heard me 1,000 times and you don't like it. Well, sometimes you understand it for the most part. You can't get rid of your good players and stars. You got to be able to work something out.
But the thing is, John, we're in an era that we haven't seen for 40 or 50 years now in the Canadian Football League. This is where we are. That's why the release of Zach Evans today isn't just big news here. It's big news across the country. That's why I've got players DMing me from other teams saying it's about money, it's about production. And when Garrick Jones comes on here, you were with me the day, were you not? The former Houston Texan, big lineman.
Yep. Right.
And he said there's a lot of sacrifice that's going to need to be made in the CFL coming up here. Did it start today? It starts today as far as you all know, but the coaches have been feeling that sacrifice for some time. Now, having said that, they were all getting paid throughout 2020, so I guess it's not as bad as you'd think. But everybody's taking a haircut in the CFL. And I wouldn't want to be a CFL leader now, not for any wage. Because as we discussed on TSN 1290 this morning in Winnipeg, any door they open playing Let's Make a Deal is bad news. There's not one good road for the CFL to go down right now.
And the fans don't have to go to the games.
Well, they might not be able to go to the games. And that's the conundrum that they're in.
Yes, it is.
You know J-Rod, Jared Livingstone, he writes in, he says, friends, he's like Tom Shepard. Can't let things go easily.
How about that, eh?
How about that?
That's a compliment, Jared. I take that as a compliment. You give up too quickly.
From Tang, no, it's called acceptance. You should try it. That's why. You ever wonder why I'm so happy? You ever wonder why I'm so happy?
Yeah, you are. You don't have to die. You haven't got that big emotion anymore.
Nope.
For some reason, you don't have all that emotion for this team like you used to have.
No, I don't. I wonder why that is. I don't know. From Tank Ebbett, that's why the one-year deals are so huge and the players like them, not producing, see you later, on to the next younger, more productive player. But the players want the one-year deals, not the teams.
Well, who's going to replace
them? Players want them because they bet on themselves. They believe, well, if you can get a long-term deal, which maybe we should break and come back and talk about this next segment. Has the Mike Riley deal opened the door for guaranteed money in the Canadian Football League?
I wonder
for the
what
first time.
How much he got.
Paul Shanks, one of our viewers, I agree with you, RP, all about the money, and he didn't produce much when he was here the second time around. Bring him out. Let's go, Riders. See, they're moving on. This is what happens in the CFL. They step over your dead body, and they keep going.
Blind fan.
So,
he's a blind fan.
He's a blind fan?
Well, just a diehard guy. They can. It's good to have diehard fans.
Okay. Sports update. Justin Herbert scored on a one-yard plunge to give the L.A. Chargers a 30-27 overtime victory over the Las Vegas Raiders on Thursday Night Football. The Chargers snapped a 9-game losing streak against their AFC West counterparts. The NBA's coaching challenge is back and here to stay. Following the recommendation from the league's competition committee, the league's board of governors voted Thursday to keep the challenge as an option for coaches going forward. It was introduced last year on a one-year trial. Dave Roberts isn't sure whether third baseman Justin Turner or former All-Star pitcher David Price will play with the Dodgers in 2021. Turner became a free agent in October after the Dodgers won the World Series. And Lexi Thompson shot a 7-under-65 to take the first-round lead in the LPGA Tour CME Group Tour Championship in Naples, Florida. After early morning rain, Thompson birdied 5 of the last 7 holes to jump ahead of the field. Brooke Henderson of Smith Falls, Ontario, and Hamilton's Elena Sharp both opened with 73s and sit 1 over. The sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. We'll continue the football talk coming right back after this break. You're watching a Flame Tech Football Friday on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. It's viewer takeover time. Come early. We got a lot going on here. It's a Flame Tech Football Friday. Had our NFL insider with us earlier. The voice of the Dallas Cowboys. Did you hear that? Brad Sham coming up in hour two when we go to national television on Game TV. Want to tell you that we're brought to you by Wheaton Kia, John Frenzy's appearances, and Tory Gurley's appearances. One thing the CFL also needs to realize is that the NFL is coming after their lunch. NFL Canada posting from their Twitter account yesterday, a quiz that you can take as a Canadian to find an NFL team if you don't currently have one. All your likes, it's like a questionnaire. They put them into a, take all your answers, jumble them up, and give you the team that you can cheer for, Lynch. Did I ask you who, you like the Vikings, right?
Yeah, they frustrate me all to hell.
Well, Jer writes in, from the 306, he says, I've become an NFL convert, Buffalo Bills fan all the way now. CFL gone by the wayside. We're not there yet. But with the release of Zach Evans today, it tells you where the league is going financially. The big contracts being ripped up and redone. Brian Eitnauer says, John Frenzy would probably think bringing back Neil Hughes and Chris Getzlaff would be great moves. LOL. Move on, Johnny boy.
Would not, of course. But But I think that you keep the Canadians as long as you can if they can help you. And this guy's played some great football for the team. And last year wasn't one of them, but he's capable of doing that. And that's what bothers me. The biggest criteria that this team is looking at now as we go ahead is what is the cost of that player, right?
Absolutely.
And there'll be some guys that they're going to try to urge it to leave, push to the door. I say, can't you go away for a while? You know, I mean, it's it's going to be ugly, and I don't want it to be
ugly. It already is ugly, just so you know. Mandy in Edmonton writes in. She says, I'm enjoying Lynch's passion today. Nelson says, the Montreal Alouettes have extended Naaman Roosevelt, Christian Matt, and Greg Reed. Remember Naaman Roosevelt? Yeah. Fan favorite.
Yeah.
That the Riders had to move out of here for a youth movement.
Yeah. Jeff, a pretty good receiver, by the way.
Jeff in Calgary says, to me, it's hard to be a fan of a team arbitrarily. In my opinion, you need an emotional bond to the team, like it being in your hometown. I don't agree, but you mean, Jeff, you're a Flames fan, you're a Stamps fan, you're a Roughnecks fan. Here in Saskatchewan, I get what you're saying. We grew up Rough Rider fans, but we had our pick of NHL teams. We have our pick of NFL teams. How you become a fan is entirely up to you. But it is a fun way to go about it. Robin in Prince Albert says, I'm taking the NFL picker quiz right now. That from NFL Canada. So one thing we're realizing here in this whole pandemic is it's just business. Hey, Lynch, we got to let you go. It's just business. Hey, Rod, we got to let you go. No hard feelings. It's just business. Zach Evans, we got to let you go. It's just business. It's just dollars and cents. And now the NFL's moving into Canada. No offense, CFL. It's just business. We're eating your lunch. And you don't even know it. That's what the NFL is doing to the CFL.
Look at Johnny Kirby there, eh?
John Kirby says the Rough Riders have the wrong shade of green. Edmonton has a better shade of green in the CFL. Clearly, we don't agree, but are we going to get into that today? Arguments back and forth? Whose green is better? Steven in North Dakota, by the way, was our rock star of the day yesterday. We're shipping him a hat to North Dakota.
It's good.
One of our thousands of American viewers daily. He writes in today, COVID-19, helping ugly people date.
That's terrible. That's awful, but funny.
Awful, but funny, says John Frenzy. We might have to carry, Mandy, your question over into hour two, because it's a good one, and it might take some time to dissect. She says, do we think the media was too nosy and damaging, causing a stir over Riley's grievance? It was quickly solved and could have easily gone under the radar. Well, it's interesting the way that you worded that. Clearly, you think the media was too nosy. What about this? It was going to arbitration for a reason, or was going to be looked at in the new year. The BC Lions were trying to get away with it. So how about you look at it this way? If the media hadn't brought it to light, Mike Riley may have never got any of his money. Think about that. 3NowNation.com breaking this story that Mike Riley had to file a grievance over unpaid money. If that story hadn't come out, do you think Mike Riley would have ever got his money?
Nope.
Think about it that way.
Well, not a chance.
Rob Cameron, why do you have to be either a CFL or NFL fan? Why not both? I would suggest the CFL has made it that way. It's an us versus them thing in this country. Yeah. We'll talk about it all next hour. I can't wait. The voice of the Dallas Cowboy, Brad Sham, will be with us. And more of all of this, stick around on Game Plus. Or stick around here on Facebook. See you after the break.
He felt sorry for Mike Riley last night. Walking off the field, he looked so disappointed.
The show's over, Lynch.
And hurt. Oh, okay.
Stop talking football.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.